When I started Majamas Earth, I knew I couldn't do it alone, so I recruited the help of my husband. Russell Curry is the guy responsible for everything I don't want to do, like managing inventory, shipping everything from supplies to orders, and basically ensuring our online storefront is always running smoothly. He is the calm, level-headed one behind the scenes, and without him, Majamas Earth would not exist. In this episode, Russ and I talk about launching Majamas Earth when our girls were only 2 and 3, his motivation for agreeing to start the company in the first place, why we added a men's line and why it stands above so many others, and most importantly, how he's balanced being a great dad and a successful entrepreneur. It gets pretty personal. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome, Russell, to our Care What You Wear podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
I know that you're not a big fan of podcasts, so I know this is quite a sacrifice for you. And I also know you're not a big fan of Father's Day because you tend to call it a Hallmark holiday. But I thought it would be fun to get your side of the story on what it's like to be an entrepreneur and also an involved dad.
And I have nothing against podcasts. I just don't happen to listen to as many as other people do.
Yeah, we won't name names. Okay, so when we started Majamas, I believe that you were working full-time at another company, and you agreed to quit your 9-to-5 job and jump into your own business. And what was your motivation for doing that?
First, I don't believe we started Majamas at the time, but I was doing a long commute. I was working for a POP company, and sometimes my commute was maybe 2-3 hours. At first, it was okay. It was more about time, so I had to be there early in the morning, working late at night, and I wouldn't get home till the kids weren't, going to bed or were in bed already, whatever. So I just felt it was not good for myself or my family. I was missing everybody.
Yeah, I know. You spent a lot of time in the car and not as much time with the girls. I know that. I remember you being upset about that. So when we did eventually both quit our real or quote full-time jobs, do you think that things turned out how you were envisioning them to turn out when we started?
Probably not. No, I mean, at first, you got to remember that being a stay-home dad, kind of, there weren't a lot of us. And no. And even I was trying to do freelance for when we first started. I was trying to do some freelance on the side with my design engineering, and that became more difficult. But then when we started Majamas, you were involved too. So both of us were involved. So it became, much easier. And it also was much more what I wanted to do. I wanted to be able to, spend more time with the family and be together. And I think when both of us working on the same company and had the same goals, I just think it made it easier. And that was what I envisioned. And so in that sense, it did kind of work out that way.
You are probably one of the most involved dads I know. You do more with your girls than, when they were little, than most any other man I know of. You always, had projects for them. I remember flying on plane trips and you'd bring activities for the girls to do, having them when they were old enough to write, or even when they could just color, you'd give them little books to kind of journal their vacations in, and you always had something for them to do on the airplane. And that's the kind of stuff I'm kind of embarrassed to admit I never thought about. Like, you thought about the stuff for them to do that I was just rotten. I never thought about that. Because most of our vacations.
You were rotten.
I was. I mean, most of our vacations were working vacations, which is kind of an oxymoron. But we never went anywhere unless it involved something with Majamas.
Probably our most vivid is when we toured the Midwest Whole Foods.
And the it was girls the girls were in high school.
It was our spring break. Everyone was going to Florida, someplace warm, exotic, and we were going to Nebraska to see a Whole Foods.
And I remember Addie complaining and saying, all my friends are in Mexico or in Florida. And I remember thinking, okay, listen, just be quiet or you're going to go to Peoria next year.
Went to there, then up to Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa. I mean, it was just, you know, and the girls also, I mean, they you know, they got their little treats at each of the Whole Foods, of course, and which I loved. And Addie was looking forward to the giant cinnamon rolls in Omaha. But I don't think we ever saw it, but
I don't think we made it there. She was trying to make it fun and looking up places where we could eat or do something they would enjoy. And I think they ended up just sitting in the back seat complaining, which honestly, you know, when you're 14 or 16 years old, I kind of don't blame them. One of my favorite vacations, quote unquote vacations, was driving up Highway 1 from LA to San Francisco and stopping in Whole Foods stores along the way there and other accounts we sold in California. That was a more pleasant one than the Midwest, I have to admit.
Yes, it was. It was beautiful too, yes.
You are pretty much my exact opposite. You are a really calm person. You're a very calm guy. You kind of live in the moment. I am the exact opposite of a calm person. And I don't live in the moment. I think that's my biggest problem. I have to force myself to be in the moment and kind of like force myself to meditate and be present. But how do you think, like, your calm demeanor helped you out as a dad?
I don't know if I'm calm. I'm kind of quiet, I guess. No, it basically helped me just because whatever came our way, I had that logical, scientific thinking brain, I guess. And so my feeling is that or something happens, I just kind of have to think about, okay, what are our options? And then just choose from that. So that's how I've always been. I mean, look at me at some of the girls' water polo games or, you know, swim meets. I'm not very calm. I'm screaming at people and this and that. So.
Yeah, but that, I mean, I think as a dad, though, I mean, you approach things differently than I did when they would have issues or problems. But I think even as a business owner, I think your calm demeanor or your thoughtful approach helped you a lot as a business owner. Because I tend to have that knee-jerk reaction. Like if a customer makes me upset, I yell and scream about it to you, not to the customer, of course. Or I'll complain to you about it, which I should really apologize for that.
No, that's why I'm here.
But I mean, I think your approach to business and thinking things through definitely showed in your approach to parenting. You're very much like, you know, you look at it in the moment. You look at the issues in the moment and you don't overreact the way I tend to do, which is.
Yeah. There's nothing you can do. Like, so for a shipment's late or whatever, I can't change it. So worrying about it and fretting about it is not going to change anything. So I just have to either think another way or you just have to sit back and wait till it happens.
You tend to do that better than I do. You know how passionate I am about the planet. And you know that I can't go through a day, not one day, without complaining about how stupid humans are and how we're destroying it. So I guess, I mean, I know that you are passionate as well. I don't know if you're as vocal as I am about it, but I do know that you know, I think you got us into recycling and composting well before I thought about it. What would you like to see all businesses do to help the planet so that future generations, like those of our girls, have a good life?
Well, I think that companies are approached correctly and starting to get on board a little bit more. I think the basic things are, just like you said, recycling, purchasing products that are made in the USA or closer to home. Simple things like recycled paper. I mean, it's amazing how much you would think that there'd be more recycled paper, but you can't find it.
I know.
And it's so simple little things. And you know, I just think that the companies have to become smarter in their packaging, use probably less packaging, better packaging, right. Which I think science right now is helping to develop that too. So it's just a slow process. I mean, just look at what we were, you know, years ago. I mean, how much you find now with things being made with recycled plastic or corrugates packaging.
Right. Right.
I also think that companies just have to start, make simpler designs and of products and everything else so that it is easier and better for our planet.
Well, I love that. I mean, your experience from POP, which is point of purchase, if people don't understand what that stands for, your experience with POP and your love of packaging really shines when I look at our hanger you designed for Whole Foods. So all the Whole Foods, garments that go into the stores go floor ready on the hanger you designed, which is made from corrugated compostable cardboard, which I just, that to me was a game changer for Majama's Earth. You really, that was all you. That was the coolest thing. I have to give you credit for that.
And it was just simple thinking, and it just happened. It worked out well. And I think when I first did it, I didn't think it would make that much of a difference, but because we made that product. So we hired a packaging person to design something. Looked really pretty. You put it all on the wall. It was a green wall. And it screamed, I guess, supposed to scream echo. But it just didn't sell. And for some reason, people wanted to touch the product. And making a simple hanger that we could hang our stuff, it just worked out.
It did. You did a great job with that, Russ. Thank you. It's a beautiful, beautiful hanger. And it's funny because it's still going. It's still, I think we put that into the Whole Foods stores. Well, we've been in Whole Foods since 2006, but I think we introduced that hanger in like 2008 or 2009. So you were one of the first to create something like that. I think it's just brilliant. When we started, all we did was make clothing for women. The idea to create an ethically USA made and eco-friendly men's line was your idea. We were shopping together for clothes and I challenged you to find your clothes that were either made in the USA or made by an ethical company or something. And this is a good 7 years ago. And you made a comment that was kind of went along the lines of, well, we should just make it. And so we did. With your inspiration and your input, we created the Majama's Earth men's line. So tell me, what is your favorite thing about that line? What do you like the most about the collection?
Well, I guess I was being a little selfish with that. No, but I agree. The challenge was quite difficult. And there were simple things. I mean, I love certain type of clothing. And what I was finding, and not just not made in the USA, it was just the clothing that was coming from overseas. I have an athletic build with probably, which made it tougher for shirts and my shorts the same way. And I just wanted simple things. And so I couldn't find them. So I kept bugging you and said, like, let's just try to make it. We had extra fabric, I think, at the time. And he said, okay, uh-huh. Let's just do it. And, what I enjoy about them is just that the designs that we've created, they fit me because they're kind of based off of me, which was nice. Custom clothing for me.
Well, and the reason they fit you well is, I mean, like the t-shirts are broader in the shoulders because you still swim and you're a big swimmer. And I think a lot of men are bigger shouldered and it was really difficult to find t-shirts that fit you well around the shoulders, right? Like they always seem really tight. Yeah.
And the sleeve was like, under my armpit.
Yeah. Yeah. It was too tight underneath.
Exactly.
Do you remember that? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the underwear was really a good, I like the simple, I don't, they make all that, the seams, not just the seams, but like the waistline where it's like a fabricated waistline. It's sewed on. I mean, I'd like with the, elastic inside if you
fold
need
over.
It. Fold over, exactly. And, mm-hmm. But I love this, the comfort of it. The cotton wore so much better than just Modelo. Keeps me cool.
But I do think our fabric, I think that does make us stand out with our men's line. And it does fit more athletic guys. And I think it also, or builds, I should say. And it definitely, that cotton Modelo does hold up. Cotton Modelo definitely can take a beating. And it still stays nice and soft, but durable, right?
Exactly. And then what you know, we added those little touches of color here and there. I love that. And that's what I always like. I like simple, then with a little touch of some flair that kind of makes it different from other products out there.
A detail. Like, that's why we line the inside top of those T-shirts with a print to add a little detail or something different. Yeah, I agree.
Or the pockets in the shorts and the joggers. And being, you know, echo with that, just saving, you know, because we had all that extra, we had extra fabric and we were like, what do you do with it?
Right.
So it's just being smart.
But that was all you, so thank you.
Well, you're welcome again.
What do you think, because it is a Father's Day podcast, what do you feel your biggest achievement has been as a dad?
My biggest achievement, hopefully, help my kids become, you know, get through all their ups and downs, getting through school, the sports, being supportive of them, and teaching them, you know, to try to be calm and try to be, and just being athletic, going out there and doing things. I mean, those are my, that's where I feel the most
I think that's exactly it, is you were part of it. I think, you know, so many dads miss their kids grow up. They miss their kids from that baby stage into teen years, and suddenly, you know, they're the ages our girls are, in their 20s, and they wonder how they got there. And I think the fact that you're involved, and you've always been involved, and the girls know that they can come to you, is truly should be one of your biggest achievements, because I don't think a lot of dads can say that.
Especially when you're raising girls or father, it's, you know, I don't know all the makeup and all that kind of stuff, but so I just hopefully provided, I mean, my life is simpler. I just comb my hair, I'm done.
It's a man's world.
It is a man's world.
You've been a great role model for them, and I really do. I think that's what you've done for them. So as a business owner, what do you feel your biggest achievement has been?
We're still here.
Yeah.
It is one of those. It is like, we're still here. You know, I believe it's just been like our, you know, our adaptability. You know, we started one way, and we just always, you know, we face certain challenges, and we seem to overcome them or figure out how to circumvent them or use them to our advantage. I mean, it's as simple as the hanger. I mean, those are kind of my biggest achievements. I feel like we've done everything we said we were going to do. You know, we were going to make a line for this. We went and did it. I mean, just think of all the stuff we've done and that aspect of it, you know, and keep learning. I think my biggest achievement is just that, you know, I think pleased with is when I see my girls out there, you know, like when we go on our vacations and taking those hikes and just exploring and seeing them grow up and knowing that, you know, I was part of that. I've been able to face my challenges, and because I feel like I'm a problem solver.
That's
all I want, and I love doing that. I love being a problem solver. Probably, and that goes back to the family. I'm a problem solver. We have a problem, I'll try to solve it.
You're good at that. I just freak out, but you do solve it.
You learn, and that's what I love doing. I love learning. I love being able to solve it, because I can look at it, break it down, figure out how it works, or best way it works, and then go from there.
You know how I would answer this question, but do you think I'm doom and gloom, but it's just, I do really worry about our girls, and when they're our age, I worry about what the planet's going to be like, and if it's going to be in good shape when they're our age. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, as a parent, you worry about everything, and that's a natural. I mean, if you looked at, we just came back and I just saw my mother who's 92, and they had a totally different life, and they were worried about just getting food at the time, you know, and now I think we're in an area where we have overabundance of some areas where we have too much.
Well, no, so, now I think their generation is going to be worried about getting water.
True.
Or both.
I mean, I think it's going to work out. I think we're in the right direction, hopefully. People, I mean, they're talking about it and getting things started, which is always a good thing. You know, and I'm talking about governments and world leaders. I mean, you're always going to have those bad people out there who are trying to just, you know, gain more money and do not care about the environment. But I mean, I think we have to solve basically what the quality of health and wealth, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the more we're separated, the worse it's going to be.
Yeah. The bigger the gap, you're saying, between rich and poor and
yes, exactly. Marginalized. Because the more the more that spreads, it's easier for and more enjoyable for the people at the top, but the people at the bottom, they're suffering. And this world is evolving quickly, and technology, I don't know if that's the total answer. I mean, you know, if we're going to have like a, you know, a Blade Runner type world or not. You know, I mean, who knows? I mean, or in Star Trek, you know, where it's just not worrying about, you know, how that, you know, where the next meal is going to come from, or, you know, where they're going to live and be feeling safe and healthy.
Oh, it would be great if our company could solve that issue, wouldn't it? Can we do that? Can we do that next season?
We'll start designing Star Trek clothing.
Oh, right? No.
I think we did do one design like that.
All right. Yeah, we did. We don't need to go back. We don't need to go back to failed seasons. This is what I love about you, Russell Curry, is that you are the positive and you are the hopeful, and you are the guy that likes to just believe that everything's going to be okay. And I think that's the reason why Majama's Earth has been able to remain in business. It's because you've stayed so stable and so steady. And if it all relied on me, which a lot of people think it does, it doesn't. It's really a 50-50. On paper, it's 51 for me, but in real life.
And it isn't as bad as you're painting the picture, believe me.
You're right. You're right.
You created a great design. You're very humble in that respect, but you know your style and design, and you created great products. And it's been easier in that respect. All I have to do is do the IT work or shipping or something. So in my eyes, yes, I feel like I've done my 50% in that respect.
Well, I'm grateful that you're my partner in this business, and I'm grateful that my girls have you as their dad, because I think you've just done a tremendous job.
Well, thank you. And I'm grateful to be their dad and grateful to be your partner, both in business and in life.
Yeah, I'm really surprised you're still hanging around. I got to be honest. Thank you for doing this, Russ. I know it was a sacrifice.
No,
thank
it wasn't.
You so much. Happy Father's Day.
Why, thank you.
We hope this podcast has made you more conscious about how you're impacting the planet and that you'll visit our website, majamas.com. There you'll find our sustainable collections and links to our blog, wearemajamasearth.com, where you can learn even more about our guests and our passion for the planet. Help us out. Follow us on Instagram and Pinterest at majamas_earth and on Facebook at majamasearth. Care what you wear, and remember, together, we have the power to help the planet.